This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Dave Pullen, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Catch up with TJ Brody here in about 5 minutes, and we'll bump Ray down the road. Ray Ferraro will join us around 5:25, and there's some COVID news in the sports world that we didn't get into earlier, and our buddy John the Sports Horn.
Oh,
is,
really?
Yeah, Johnny sent me a text in the last hour. I love these. These are the best texts. Instead of him just sending it to me, he sends me a text, goes, check out my last tweet. And I'm like,
why don't you cut and paste it?
Yeah, send me the tweet. Why would I, like, I'm on the air, dude. Why do I have to go search for the tweet? You know, so he sends me that text. Hey, go check my last tweet. And I'm like, all right, okay, I will. And, you know, and he brings up a pretty good point. Like, I have known him to be basically the Lloyd Robertson of sports journalism, Johnny the Sports Horn, because news came out today that Dustin Johnson has tested positive for COVID-19. So he is out of the tournament this weekend, I believe, down in Vegas. Cristiano Ronaldo has tested positive for COVID-19. He is out of their match.
Yeah.
Portugal's playing, is it France? I can't remember who they're playing. And John points out, the Sports Horn, that would, now we start going through the list of sports. Number one golfer in the world, Dustin Johnson, positive for COVID-19. Yeah. Number one, arguably, soccer player in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo. Number one tennis player in the world, Novak Djokovic. He had it a few months ago. Number one hockey player in the world, Connor McDavid, has tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah.
So COVID doesn't discriminate, and it's finding the best players in pretty much every sport.
About the number twos?
Yeah, so that's a good point.
It's escaping the up. Twos. Yeah, it's just going after the top people. But right. Like, if you're a backup, if you're no good, don't worry about it. It bypasses you, I guess.
So. Yeah, exactly. COVID only goes for the best, I guess.
Yeah, really.
That would explain why, you know, none of us have to deal with it.
We are very safe for that.
Yeah, but, I think we're okay. But although I guess maybe I should rephrase that, because according to TSN and the top 20 that we revealed on Friday of the Free Agent Frenzy show, Connor McDavid is no longer the number one player in the NHL. That was Nathan MacKinnon, who apparently is number one now, according to
there
TSN.
We had a little bit of a controversy over that email and how the wording was of the email from the quizmaster. I interpreted it as 2020, as right now. And that's right. The way we do it. He was interpreting it as moving into 2021, which is a different story. We're going fresh off the playoffs. We're going. And by the way, I didn't decide who the best player in the NHL was. The MVP was Leon Draisaitl. The winner of the Ted Lindsay was Leon Draisaitl. A whole bunch of other people decided who the number one player was.
Right, and there was a bit of an interpretation issue. I did interpret that as projecting into next season, and as a result, I still had McDavid as number one. Listen, I love Nathan MacKinnon. I think he is clearly number two. Like, it's a race for number three. And I think the top two guys have solidified their standing, and I think they're going to be there for quite some time. And it gets you excited about the Olympics in 17 months because they're both Canadian, and they're either going to be on the same line or going over the boards every other shift as, you know, the top two centers on the team. But I still had McDavid as number one. You know, if we're projecting what's going to happen next season, I just think he brings a skill set that is unmatched. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that because we get caught up in what MacKinnon was doing during the playoffs, which McDavid did not have the chance to do because his team didn't even technically qualify. But I don't think you can go wrong. Like, I understand why people are making the case for MacKinnon. I'm not fighting against MacKinnon's greatness. But the list, if you missed it, it had Crosby at 11, which I think is a slight. I don't see that. I think Sid's still got a lot of game and will be heard from. And I don't believe there are any goalies in the top 20. And
well,
Noodles, you were not happy
about
that.
Well, that's where I called the list idiotic. Like, there's not one goalie that you would term as a top 20 player in the world. Do you know, like, I would think Joe Sakic would argue against that when he's watching watching Freddie Frances try and stop pucks in the playoffs. I mean, like, it just, it blows my mind. Like, and Hayes, you've said this. You've said this before. Goalies are like quarterbacks and like pitchers.
Yep.
You don't win without them. But yet, you know what? Like, people look at the stats and like, that guy's got a bunch of goals. Well, he's got to be a top 10. That guy's got a bunch of points. He's got to be there. Oh, and we forgot about defensemen, so let's sprinkle a couple in there. Like, these lists shouldn't be done. They should be done in pockets. The number one forwards, the top 20 forwards, the top 20 D, and the top 10 goalies. Because you can't intertwine them because we all value them differently. That would be my argument against the Quizmaster and against these lists.
Yeah, no, I agree with
how
you.
How many goalies in your list, Jamie?
I had three. I had Hellebuck.
Brian?
I had two. I had Hellebuck, I think, at 11 or 12, and I had Vasilevsky towards the end, maybe 19 or 20.
I had both as well.
Yeah. So the three of us have
both
them.
Of those guys.
I mean, Basically, no one else voted goaltenders in the top 20.
No one else could have had them.
You're rational gentlemen. That's why you're rational. There's lunatics on our panel that don't respect goaltenders.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what it was.
That's clear. Or they just have a complete misunderstanding. Like, even Vasilevsky didn't get any credit. Like, he really didn't get any credit for winning a Stanley Cup. It was all the Hedman show and the point show and where's Stamkos. Like, We didn't – and that's – I guess we're guilty of it, too. We didn't talk a lot about Vasilevsky, but last time I checked, he played pretty well.
Believe me, if TJ – we'll be sure to ask the defenseman coming up if the goal is important. Yeah, okay. TJ Brody had to play in front of Jamie McLennan. He'd be blocking shots left and right, put it that way.
Okay, let's bring him in here. One of the newest Maple Leafs. There's a bunch of new Leafs over the past 3 or 4 days. He signed a new deal. He'll be a part of the top four here on defense for a number of years. Here is TJ Brody. Would you sign here in Toronto if Noodles was still the goaltender in Toronto? If he was the starting goalie here in Toronto, would you have accepted the deal by Kyle Dubas?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. That's a lie. Not a good start.
Good locker room guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Great in the room, but they want to leave me there. That's what it is.
Yeah, that would be a bit of an issue. But welcome to Toronto. I mean, you just knew they were going to dig up that video of you at the skills competition when you were 11. That's the way it works here in Toronto, right? How long were you waiting for that thing to come out?
I knew it was going to come out eventually. I feel like every time, you know, we play there, even on the road, it comes out. So I thought the odds were pretty high.
Yeah. Well, take us through, you know, the reasoning behind this. I mean, the Leafs obviously had shown an interest in you in the past. We know about the deal that fell through last year, but you accept the 4-year deal and you come in here and there's going to be some pretty high expectations. But what was so compelling about the Maple Leafs pitch from your end?
Yeah, I think when there's a team that you know they've already been interested in you, and you know, that's a positive. And then you look at the roster, and you know, it's a great team, and you know, just the style of play that they have. I thought it was a good fit for me and a good opportunity.
TJ, you know, for people who don't know you, obviously I know you quite well, but. You know, for people who don't know you, tell us what you bring to the table as far as a player and what you feel like your strengths are and how you're going to be able to help the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I guess skating. You know, I try to have a good first pass at the end and, you know, get the puck in the forward's hands as quick as possible and, you know, try to buy them as much time by sucking guys in, I guess. You know, I just try to be as consistent as I can and... good stick, I guess. I don't know.
Good pitch. I like it. I'm looking forward to seeing you play here. Go ahead, Paul.
TJ, as you went through this process, did you put a plan in place a couple months ago? Did you wait until the last minute? How did it work with your management group in terms of saying, okay, here are the top three teams I want to go to, here are the top five teams, you want to listen to a certain number of pitches? Or how did you handle the process?
Yeah, I just told them that we were pretty open, as far as that went, and it was new. I've never been through that before, the free agency, and, it was new for the agents too, with not having the talking period before. So, you know, it's just sort of, fly by the seat of your pants and, you know, see what happens.
with TJ Brodie, one of the newest Maple Leafs. You obviously have spent your whole career in Calgary, so you're familiar with playing in a Canadian market. And you're going to get these questions when you show up here. What are you thinking about Toronto? I know you're an Ontario guy. You're familiar with the market. But you feel like, you know, being in Calgary for as long as you were will help you adjust that much easier to what is going to be, you know, a big market, a loud market. You know what you're walking into here in Toronto.
Yeah. You know, to a certain extent, it'll be new. I don't think there's many markets that can prepare you for the Toronto market. It's you know, the hockey world. So you know, it's one of those things that I'll have to learn as I go. I've never been, you know, too much of a media personality, so we'll just see what happens.
TJ, you obviously had tremendous chemistry with Mark Giordano. You look at Morgan Riley, I'm not sure where you're going to be slotted, but I would argue probably on that right side with Morgan. Is it do you look at his game and see a lot of similarities in the way Gio plays, as far as, you know, a big, strong guy who can skate and absorb some contact?
Yeah, definitely. You watch him play, and him and Gio do all the same things. You know, they're skilled, fast, smart, and they can play that physical role if they need to. And you know, they're both special players.
Well, we look forward to seeing you whenever camp opens, you know, hopefully sooner rather than later. And then when the real stuff happens, hopefully we're all in the building for that. But congrats on the new deal. Welcome to town, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you, TJ.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There's TJ Brodie, TJ, one of the newest Maple Leafs. I like how he slides in during a radio interview. Never really been a media guy.
You know, it's
not really interest him that much. That's okay.
We'll get used to it. I mean, we had him in Calgary. I was, you know, part of the behind-the-scenes crew in drafting him, and I was in assistant coach when he got called up. And you knew right away he's a great skater and his decision-making, all of that type of stuff. But he's a quiet guy. You know, he just goes out and plays. And, you know, that's why I wanted him to kind of, you know, throw out there, like, what his focus is. Because he's not a guy that's a rah-rah guy. He's not very outspoken. He's certainly going to be, you know, I guess, quite quiet in the media because he's not a big personality. But he does let his play speak for itself. And that's something.
Fine. That's fine.
Exactly.
Right?
Like,
totally
this,
fine.
This market, you know, there, we didn't really get into the Tyson Berry comments from over the weekend where he talked about how tough it is in Toronto and blah, blah, blah. He did end up walking it back.
He backed that down. He did back that down after he'd said it, because I think he realizes, you know, and he will, looking back, he had a pretty smooth ride here from the media. He wasn't,
absolutely.
I don't think the media was hard on him at all.
No, I mean, considering how poorly he played, like, yes, that would be brought up from time to time, of course. I mean, you have to expect that. You're playing in the National Hockey League. If you're in Arizona, someone's probably going to mention that you weren't playing so well if you're not playing that well. Clearly, right. That's going to happen in Toronto. But this reputation that Toronto is just ruthless and eats its own and runs people out of town has always been bogus. Are there occasional times where things come up that people don't like? Yes. Are there times where things get reported that maybe the player, the team, the family or whatever would find uncomfortable or what have you? Yes. But that's no different than any other market. Like, go down to New York,
to
Philly, Boston.
Played in Philly and Boston. Come on.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You talk about tough media towns. Both those places were as tough as they came.
It's not even close.
If you're playing well, it's great. If you're not playing well, it's not good. It doesn't matter where you are.
You know what it is? It's passion. And
sure.
And you're right, Pooley, you played in Philly and Boston. I played in both New Yorks. You know, Hayes, you grew up here in Toronto. You know how passionate this market is. We know how passionate Montreal's market is. I would argue, though, the only difference that I've noticed in talking to players like that have gone to Toronto and then moved on or vice versa, is they said everything that comes with it just comes with a louder volume. So that's something that I think is an adjustment. Whether you play well, it's loud. Whether you play poorly, it's louder. Like, that's the only thing I've had players tell me, is it just the volume is turned up to 10 because of the passion. And I would argue that's the same, like, Pooley, that Boston, Philadelphia, New York, Toronto, Montreal. Vancouver is extremely loud right now. You guys see what's going on out there with Jimmy Benning. And,
right.
You know, the passion
loud.
Is involved. Edmonton's loud. Calgary's loud. It just depends on, you know, how you interpret, you know, and how you're going to deal with it. That's really
There's more volume here. Like, there's no question. It's just a bigger city, right? There's more fans, I believe, with this team than any other fan base in the league. And the media, there's a lot of daily papers. There's multiple sports radio stations, multiple networks that are stationed here. There's a lot.
Generations of fans.
Exactly. But I don't think this gets brought up nearly enough about how optimistic Leaf fans are by nature. Not all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, there are some that are just naturally pessimistic, and that's probably because the team has hammered that home on them. Yes, and I would probably fall in that group from time to time, admittedly, because I have been waiting for this team to take another step basically my whole life, and it's never happened. So I am naturally pessimistic at times. But there are a lot of Leaf fans who just feel like every move is the right move, every move is going to work out, and that is rare. And I don't think the players acknowledge that enough, and maybe it's not their duty to do so. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they don't hear that kind of stuff.
Well, but they don't the hear moves, from those people because they don't
They're insulated. They're exactly. They're in their own bubble. They're doing their own thing. But you look at the moves the Leafs have made just, you know, recently. Like, I don't know if they're all going to work out, right? Like, I don't know if Wayne Simmonds is – I want to believe, because I'm a big fan of his game and the way he plays, and he's been on the show multiple times. He's a Toronto guy. His story is great. I want to believe. But I can't sit here and guarantee you that he's 100% healthy, that he's going to bring, you know, his A game. But a lot of Leaf fans are just like, oh, that's done. He's money. He's 20 goals.
Wow.
He's
yeah.
tough. Like, what's,
well, look at Zach Bogosian, Brian. Look at Zach Bogosian, who couldn't play in Buffalo on a bad team. They couldn't play.
Right.
Wasn't in the lineup. And then he goes down and puts himself in a great situation in Tampa and plays a lot of minutes with Victor Hedman and looked all world. Now, who is he going to play with here? You know, is he going to get a little piece of Morgan Riley? Is he going to get a piece of a 21-year-old Rasmus Sandin or a 23-year-old Travis Dermott? Or, you know, what kind of role is he going to play? So much of it is putting yourself in that position. And but I think Bogosian's a perfect example. Within a year, he went from never having made the playoffs and playing in Buffalo and being a healthy scratch to being a Stanley Cup champion.
You know what? And I'll climb on top of that. Like I said this yesterday, I trust Wayne Simmonds because I know there's such a sample size there. We've seen him at his best. We've seen him on rough nights, but you know for the most part what you're going to get from him. I have no idea Barabanov, you know, what is Mikhaev going to look like? Engvall, you know, kind of like Anderson, a 22-year-old guy. What Jimmy Vesey shows up?
Right.
You know, that Lehtinen, hey, he's getting a bunch of points in the KHL. Well, the KHL's great. Not the National Hockey League. Like, you know, that's the one thing that always concerns me. When guys are lighting it up in other leagues, there's a reason why they're called other leagues. They're not the National Hockey League. If you're lighting it up in the National Hockey League, we know who you are. But I can't profess to be like, you know what, this Lehtinen's top 10 in scoring in the KHL. That's instantly going to translate to him dominating at the NHL level. That doesn't happen, and we've
right.
seen that.
And,
so,
and maybe the players would prefer just to have absolutely no buzz whatsoever, you know, and you'd get that in 20 other markets, right? If Mikko Lehtinen shows up and plays in 20 other markets, fans are like, who the hell is this guy again? You know, like, there's no one's talking about it. No one's anticipating anything. But it's not as if the majority of Leaf fans are sitting here thinking negatively when it comes to him. Like, they're projecting positive results.
Right, but you've now seen 10 or 12 of these guys come through because the way their system's built and the way their team's built, they're going to rely on bringing those players over and having success. And quite frankly, other than Mikhaev and you could argue Zaitsev for a year, the large number haven't come over and had success. They simply haven't.
Yep, that's right.
You know, they've gone through a lot of guys now, 12, 14 guys.
Well, who was that left shot Russian? He ended up in St. Louis.
Timoshov?
Timoshov.
Dmitry Timoshov. Like, you know, that like, you know, he looked nice for a 10-game stretch. And then, you know, the wheels or the bottom fell out. Like, that's the thing. Like, there's a bunch of unknowns. So when people ask me, like, what do you think of this Leafs team? Like, what do you think of Kyle's moves? Well, there's some that you know, hey, TJ Brody, we know what he's capable of. We've seen him for many, many years. You know, again, back what Wayne Simmonds is capable of. Bogosian's, the one thing I looked at is, I don't think, and Brian, to this is, to your point, Bogosian has not had one healthy season. Like, as for where he's played 82, he played 81 early on, and everything else has been like 64, 51. Like, you know, that's a guy. You may not expect him in the lineup every night, but if he's healthy, he can play well. But the rest of the guys, it's a crapshoot as to, you know, what, how they're going to settle in at the National Hockey League level and find a role on this team where a lot of the big roles are taken already.
Yeah, it's a very specific role they need. It just is.
Yep, exactly. You've got it, and you've got to find it quick, right?
Right.
And they're advocating for a tough camp and everyone being held to account throughout the season. And we'll see. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up, our TSN hockey analyst. His thoughts on the Leafs, maybe Joe Thornton and the Leafs potentially having a connection. Petrangelo, Nate Schmidt, lots going on in the hockey world. We've got Joe Theismann coming up in about 45 minutes as well. The Tuesday nighter tonight, the Bills at the Titans. I love the sound of that, a Tuesday nighter.
Yeah,
yep.
I'll take it.
Beautiful, beautiful sounding marquee. So we'll get to that later in the afternoon as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so the greatest of all time debate rages on. LeBron with his post last night about, you know, the goalpost always moving with him, and it's just a constant discussion. Who's greater, LeBron or Jordan? And I'm sure there's other guys out there like Bill Russell and Magic, and, you know, they're like, maybe I could be included in this whole conversation, but we'll tell you about his post, and we'll get into it a little bit later in the hour. Ray's coming up here in a moment. Joe Theismann in about 40 minutes, and I'm not sure how he feels about it, although I'm sure he understands it. When you see gruesome injuries in the NFL, you think of Joe Theismann, right? Well, like, he's
one of the
poster
worst.
Boy. Yeah.
But do you think that people ask him about it all the time? Like, when you mention it, but like, Hayes, you mentioned, like, he's coming on and we're going to talk about it. Like, is he expecting to, like, walk us through what happened? Like, does he have to talk about it all the time? Like, I don't know if something like this that happened to Dak the other day, like, immediately, like, his phone rings off the hook. It's like, tell us through, you know.
I would assume so. We did it. I mean, the grappler was texting him when Dak was on the cart.
But it's so famous, Jamie. It's such a famous one. It's the first one you think of, and it was how long ago?
I know,
it was in the 1970s. You think about it, and you see an injury like that, and you immediately think back to that injury with Joe Theismann. And in fact, David Letterman had a piece one night, and they went backstage, and they went through some of the props that they hadn't used, that they'd built but hadn't used. And one was a Joe Theismann pencil sharpener. And the part that moved was the leg on the pencil sharpener. It was like ridiculous.
That's a little bit much.
No, it was.
Cable TV.
It was ridiculous. But it was one of the most infamous, I guess would be a better word, injuries
without
question.
History. Yeah, when you think of like the Bo Jackson injury, you think of the Joe Theismann injury.
Do we even have one like that in hockey that you say,
well,
remember that one?
Clint Malarchuk.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so gruesome and so upsetting. You know, you don't go back to watch that. Like, there's a couple of those where, you know, I don't remember off the top of my head, like, broken legs.
But you do remember the Theismann one. That's the strange thing. You know, as a sports fan, and you might not, Jamie. You wouldn't have followed the other sports, you know, that much back then, probably. But I'll tell you what, it just doesn't. It was so strong, and that was that on Monday Night Football?
Well, remember who did it to him?
Absolutely, a mega superstar,
Lawrence Taylor.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what adds to the kind of mystique or the infamy of it all it was a battle of the NFC East, two great teams. Theismann was who he was, and Lawrence Taylor came around that corner, and it was ugly. Like, and you knew it. And this was when medicine was very different, too, right?
And
science and rehab. And back then, you blow out your leg like that, it's like, I don't know if we'll ever see you again. So we'll catch up with Joe, and I'm sure he's very looking forward to revisiting the whole
traumatic scene.
We'll let you ask that question.
Yeah, you can ask. Like, take us through what happened. Yeah.
Do you remember when it's like Chris Farley? Hey, do you remember when Lawrence Taylor ended your career? Can you take us through that? Yeah. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Can you think of a gruesome hockey injury? We brought up Clint Malarchuk, but putting him aside, can you think of an infamous injury that sticks out that every hockey fan can remember?
Not like that. I mean, I saw a couple that were really pretty gross. That wouldn't have been on the national stage. Torrey Robertson was our tough guy in Hartford, and he was fighting, I believe, Chris Nyland. And they went to the ice, and then Torrey just didn't get up. Like, he wasn't hit; he just didn't get up. And so, that never happened. And so we went over to help him, and we got him on our shoulders, like one guy on each shoulder, and his ankle was pointed left.
Eesh.
Yeah. Like, his foot, his leg was straight, his ankle was pointed left.
Yeah, and that's tough.
And I remember looking down and just like, oh, my God. You know, like, it just looked terrible. Like, what we saw with Prescott, and then you guys are, bringing up Theismann, like, those are just terrible, terrible injuries.
Well, my buddy just brought up a good point. Coming in from the rafters, the Stevens hit on Eric Lindros was... Like, I remember I was in a hockey tournament, and my coach came in. He's like, you got to see this. It was one of those, triplex tournaments where, every rink was, storming into the restaurant because it was a hit. So, I guess that's the same thing with Lawrence Taylor and Theismann. But you knew when he got Lindros, you're like, that is trouble. Like, Eric is in big, big trouble.
And about that as well, too, remember all the anticipation of Eric coming back. That was his first game. I don't want to say it was his first shift. It might have been. It was certainly within the first couple of minutes of the period. I was working at ESPN. I was in the cafeteria, and the whole place, that's not a hockey first place, right? It's always, it's basketball and all that stuff. And the whole place just, there was this, whoa. Everybody knew right away it was bad.
Yeah.
Do you remember, were you there when Kevin Stevens got hit by Richie? That was another one where Kevin Stevens.
That was game seven.
Yeah, fell on his face.
Actually, Noodles? That's the most, to Hayes' question, the most infamous one. Like, when he hit the ice, that building was like church. And it was immediately apparent he was in big trouble.
Yeah.
It's scary, man.
I have a really awful one, but it's got hopefully a silver lining. I was playing in the minors in Adirondack, and they had really tall, hard boards, and I didn't handle the puck very well, and I went out to stop it behind the net, and it jumped up on me, and I was trying to pull it off the boards, and Kevin Cheveldayoff came back to grab it. And he was yelling at me, get out of the way, get out of the way. And I jammed him up because the puck was on its side against the boards. And this monster named Max Mittendorf came and buried him head first into the boards. And Chevy's helmet popped off, and he was skating around, and there was blood everywhere. And I went to the bench at the TV, not TV timeout, at the timeout. And Chevy looked at me, and he's like, am I cut? And there was... I could see his forehead, I could see his skull. There was a piece of skin that had flapped open, and I'm like, yeah, Chevy, you might need one or two. And I think he must have got 20 stitches or something. It was awful, but I could see his skull, and it was directly my fault because I couldn't handle the puck.
No wonder we can't get that interview with Chevy.
Yeah. He refuses to keep, he's still holding a grudge.
He hates my guts.
Yeah. Just let it rim around, Noodles. Oh, don't be a hero behind the net.
I was so rattled. I'll never forget that in my life. That image.
But Noodles, that is a really good, I got a chuckle out of that when somebody would ask another guy, is the cut bad? No, it's fine. No.
You're fine. You might need a couple. Don't worry about it. I think you got 20. You're like, no, you might need a zipper or two. You're fine. You're fine. I had to turn away because I couldn't look back. I could see his skull. I'm like, I can't do it again. you know.
that wouldn't be great. I think for team morale after on the bus afterwards.
It's gonna leave a mark.
Yeah. With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. So we were talking about the Petrangelo signing in Vegas, and that was the greatest secret in the league. I mean, everyone knew he was going there. It felt like it. And they gave him a great deal, right? Like 7 years, 8.7, lots of bonuses, no trade, no move. But as a result, they trade Nate Schmidt for basically nothing. They trade Paul Stastny for, you know, basically nothing. They also bring in Robin Lehner and give him an extension. And I got to believe Marc-Andre Fleury is not exactly the happiest member of the Vegas Golden Knights. I think they're better. But I think they're trying too hard, and it feels like they might be really messing with chemistry in Vegas. What do you make of their moves and where they stand now?
Well, the Stastny thing, I guess, opens a door for Cody Glass. He'll be a third-year pro now and was their first ever draft pick. So I guess that fits there. Now, if you take Stastny and Schmidt out of the lineup and just put in Petrangelo, like, I don't know how much better they are. Like, I think Petrangelo is really good. But you're taking out two pretty important players. Yeah. I don't know really what to think of it. I mean, they don't have any cap room now. They can't go add anything now. And they remember how they lost in the playoffs. It's because they couldn't score. They couldn't finish. They can't address that right now.
Right.
But, Ray, when you say that, I mean, each step of the way, they didn't have any cap room when they went out and signed Stastny. They didn't have any when they went out and got Stone. They just keep doing things. And Pacioretty, the same thing. And the expectations there, I mean, it's like they're, when I think of the time that I played in, it's like they're the New York Islanders that just won four cups in a row and they're expected, you know, their expectations are that high. Or the Edmonton Oilers that, you know, there's a good player available. He's ours to get because he's going to win a cup. And, you know, even go back to that first year when they went out and got Ryan Reeves at Christmas because he needed more toughness. Let's go and get the toughest guy in the league because we're going to the cup finals. It's our first year.
Right.
Well, they're certainly not. They don't lack for boldness.
No.
And they, you know, they're like the end of the roadmap for them, right? Like every team is the cup, and their path seems to be a lot more direct. Now, I don't know if it's going to work because look at what they've given up as well to acquire some of the players you talk about. Like Nick Suzuki's going to be a hell of a player.
Really good.
Yeah.
You know, and now in 3 years, are you going to want that one back when Max doesn't score 30 goals? Probably. But they made the move now.
Yeah.
You know, like they're dancing on a wire here a little bit. I look, if I'm the owner, it's my money. I'm aggressive guy. I want to try and win. I don't want to wait 5 years to get into a competitive window if I don't have to. But I think, at least in my opinion, the first year guys threw their expectations right on their ear. Like, there's no chance they thought they were going to be that. Remember when they picked a team? Nobody said, oh, this is a Stanley Cup contending team. People said, yeah, I think this is the best expansion team in a while. I think they'll be pretty good. But I don't recall anybody saying, oh, yeah, they're going to get to the finals.
No, nobody. Nobody saw that coming. And I'm with you. I don't believe they actually saw that coming, but they got there. And as a result, expectations change. There's some smoke and some rumors around that maybe Joe Thornton and the Maple Leafs could find a connection. We've been doing this dance with these two parties for years, and Thornton's never wanted to jump. You know, he always stayed in San Jose. He's 41. You know, I don't know what he's got left. I would assume he'd be on the fourth line as their fourth line center. Could you make sense of that, Joe Thornton and the Maple Leafs finally working this out and him coming to Toronto?
Well, then what are you doing with Jason Spezza?
Well, exactly.
Like, they've already kind of got Joe Thornton.
Yeah, that's how I see
it,
too.
I don't see this as a need. I mean, hell, I hope, you know, I'm doing 25 games a year. I hope Joe's there for 1 year. It would be awesome to listen to him. It would be fun to be around. But, I mean, what can he really bring to this team? He's not fast. He's not, you know, he's not quick at all. He's not, you know, he can still pass the puck, of course, but I don't see it. I saw the story today and I was like, oh, really? That doesn't quite make sense for me.
No, me neither. Especially in a year like this where I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, decent options out there on the cheap. So why give up a roster spot to a guy who's 41 who may not have it when you could get a guy maybe at the same price who's 28 and still does?
Guys, I could see if the Leafs' power play struggled, then they're like, hey, let's get a specialist. You know, like the key to making this power play and putting it over the top is somebody who could dominate from the half wall. You know, something like that. The Leafs' power play is fine. Like that's not a weakness within their team. Am I wrong with that?
No, you're right. Absolutely.
Like Edmonton is excited to get a guy like Tyson Barrie because they've wanted somebody from the back end to drive the puck up and get it, you know. So I think Barrie will be a nice fit in Edmonton because they're addressing a need. I don't know what need they would be addressing with Joe Thornton other than just having another skilled guy, another veteran guy,
chasing a cup, you know, that whole narrative.
Fantastic person. But, you know, how many local guys, like not every guy from Toronto wants to play for the Leafs. Like that's the one narrative that gets thrown in there. It's like another, you know, Ontario guy. Great. Like you have to be able to fit in, you know, to the dynamic you're trying to sell. I just don't know where
I don't care where
fit.
You're from. Just as long as you can play,
exactly.
Right? How about start winning here in the city?
Agreed.
And then worry from there. You know?
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if it matters where he's from. I mean, the guy lives in Switzerland half the year.
Right.
Right. Like, it's not like he's going to move back, right now. I assume he's got a pretty nice little life going in San Jose, and then his wife's from Switzerland, and so that's where they go. I just don't see it as being an advantage for Toronto, and given the fact that there's 100 players still out there, and as Dregs and I taped our podcast this morning, and Dregs mentioned, like, there's no money in the system. Like, guys that are making $3 million last year are getting a call and saying, I got 1 year at $850 or 1 year at $1 million. Like, if you want to upgrade that position, I think they can do it on the cheap.
Yeah, and tied into that, Ray, I'm throwing a question out there that I don't know the answer to, and I've heard a little bit of discussion about, but the so-called taxi squads that may exist around teams because there's, you know, potentially no American Hockey League and no place to have extra players. And then you start thinking, okay, well, if you had, I don't know, you could carry 26 instead of 23. I don't know how that impacts the cap. I don't know whether you get a certain amount of money to do that in or they're outside the cap. But if it was that kind of luxury, you could see it. But if you can only carry, with the cap situation in Toronto, if you can only carry 21 or 22 players, to have players like Jason Spezza and Joe Thornton both, that would be a reach because you'd be expecting to play every night.
I'm just, as you're talking there, Poulet, I'm like, how would they make that work?
It's tough to believe. If Thornton and Spezza are on the same line, Imagine McDavid's in town and he sees those two on the ice. Like, it would just, you know, with all due respect, they just couldn't keep up. It would be a pure matchup. You know, I don't know where you would start them on the ice, offensive zone starts, defensive zone starts. I mean, they're smart players, very high IQ. They both win draws. They're both big bodies that can use their bodies, but they're just, you know, they're well past the prime. So, I don't know.
Well, I think it's probably a pretty short list of guys that are effective in their 40s.
Yeah.
It's a pretty short list.
Yeah.
And Joel's had major knee surgery a couple of times. He's not, you know, fleet anyway. I think it's a cool thing that, you know, a couple of years ago it might have been with Joe, but right now I think if you're looking to upgrade that, your fourth center spot, if that's what they're trying to do, or their third center spot, I think they can do it, you know, with a far younger guy that's got more game than Joe would have left.
Yeah. What do you make of the situation in Montreal here where they've acquired Josh Anderson, gave him 7 years, $5.5 million? They acquired Toffoli. They gave him, was it a 4 or 5 year deal?
Four years, four and a half.
And Brandon Gallagher's got 1 year left on his deal, which was a great team-friendly contract. I think about $3.8 million for 5 or 6 years, and he's clearly exceeded that. And my understanding is, as much as Weber is the captain, he is a leader, Gallagher is right there with him in terms of just being the pulse of that team. You hear from Habs fans that he's universally loved, and yet he's probably looking at those two deals saying, okay, well, I guess we'll start with where Josh Anderson signed, and it doesn't sound like it's going so well. They got a year to figure this out. But I'm wondering if Bergevin kind of anticipated a separation and he got proactive and got to Foley and Anderson before Gallagher walks. Like, what happens here in Montreal?
Well, his agent, Jerry Johansson, has said they've stopped talking now. Apparently things weren't going so smoothly. But if I'm Montreal, I'm not too worried about it right now because I have that year, because I've just put a lot of money and effort into making my team better. I think they're actually pretty good. They've got depth through their lineup. If you look at Gallagher and Danault play together on one line, and Suzuki and Toffoli play together on another, and Kotkaniemi and Anderson play together on another as your top nine center right wingers, it's pretty good. But then you still got a problem. You've got a roadblock coming up here in a year. The thing is, like, they don't have to get to, you know, Pooley can maybe speak to this from the management side, but man, he's got a year left. There is no rush to get a contract signed a year from now, in particular given the way that nobody knows what the revenues are going to be.
So well, I think it's funny, though, too, Ray, that report came out of Vancouver. The talks had broken off with Gallagher. So yep. Maybe that's wishful thinking that a local boy comes home.
Well, maybe, but the quote came from Johansson. It came from his agent.
From his agent, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, today, once this thing broke, everybody out here is, you know, super excited and putting the cart 9 miles in front of the horse. That, oh, wouldn't Gallagher be awesome out here, and could you see him with Pettersson, and yada, yada, yada. But there's still plenty of time left. But
sure.
I don't know. I wouldn't be in a hurry to get rid of good players. I wouldn't be in that much of a hurry. That's for sure.
I wouldn't either. I guess I'm learning from what we've seen here. There's a bit of a Justin Falk, Alex Pietrangelo angle here, where I'm sure if you're Gallagher, you're like, okay, cool, that's awesome. Josh Anderson, welcome to the squad. Well, I'll take six a year and more because I've been here and I've been grinding, and I'm the man, you know, give or take. So that's what I anticipate happening here, and I think that'll be a storyline. You know, Montreal is going to blow this up all year. It's going to be, and it'll be a topic in Vancouver and.
Yeah, it will. But you know what? Like, in essence, to your point, Brian, I think what Bergie did is he covered off the bases and said, okay, if I can't get anything done with Gallagher, I can move him, and we're just as deep on the right side. Different, because I love Gallagher, and he's a 30-goal man, and he plays a different way. But, you know, Toffoli can take those minutes. Like, that's what I think they're thinking in St. Louis, is Falk can take some of Petro's minutes.
Well, obviously, but they're worse without Petro, right? Like, as I like Gallagher of the three, I'm taking Gallagher if I'm building a team tonight over Anderson and Toffoli. Personally, I love him. Like, I love how he plays, his tenacity, he scores, you know. But maybe they've covered themselves before they get to that point. Maybe it's a moot point. Maybe he signs tomorrow an extension or next year. Anyway, we'll leave it there. We'll see where we're at tomorrow. There's a lot going on in the hockey world. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Yep, have a good day, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline as I open the document, in case you're wondering why I'm stalling. There it is. Red Tag Days continue with rates from 0% and free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle purchase in October. MapleToyota.com. All right, Joe Theismann in about 15 minutes. Brad Treliving, the GM of the Flames, at 6:25. Dave Poulin's in here with Jamie Noodles McLennan. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Joe Theismann coming up in the next hour. Brad Treliving, GM of the Flames. We'll get into the Tuesday nighter tonight, Bills at Tennessee. We still haven't talked about the kind of miracle win by the Saints last night.
Yeah.
And a tale of two halves from Drew Brees, man. He looked all of 41 in the first half, and he started really cooking into the second half. And I don't think it's going to work for Brees. You know, I've been saying this all year. I think Brees and Brady are going to look their age. I don't think by the end of the year they're going to be considered top 10 quarterbacks based on production. I think they'll be somewhere in the middle of the pack, but the Saints don't look great. The Bucs don't look great. It's kind of a weird year in the NFC
South. Wait until their time of year. They, you know, they just got to get through the season, through all the testing, through all the, you know, wait until the playoffs start. That's what they're paying those guys to do.
They got to get there first, right? I mean, it is expanded playoffs this year, so there's going to be an extra team in each conference. And the NFC East is so bad, so only one team's coming out of there. I think you're going to get multiple teams out of the NFC West, maybe the NFC North, maybe the Bears get there. But so maybe it is a lock that both teams are going to make it. And you're right, Pooley, once they get there and they're comfortable, we'll
Showtime.
See. It has been historically the case, but we'll ask Theismann about that. We'll get into it in the next hour. And LeBron James talking about legacy and the post moving for him and maybe no one else in the history of the game. We'll tell you about that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.